Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Well, at college group, this semester, we've done a lot of things, but I guess it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had this great discussion about what it means to be a friend. And they had great answers. A friend is someone who makes time for you. A friend is someone who's willing to tell you the truth, even when it's hard or even when it hurts. A friend is someone who will never abandon you, no matter how stupid or selfish you're being. A friend is someone you can count on. A friend is someone you can trust. A friend is someone who brings you cookies when you're down, right? Those are all great definitions. Many years ago, a British newspaper basically did the same thing, and they invited readers to submit their best definitions of friendship or friends. Thousands of suggestions flooded in. Here's three or four. A friend is someone who multiplies our joys, divides our griefs, and whose honesty is without question. That's a pretty good definition. A friend is someone who understands our silence. Friends are like good health. You realize what a gift they are. You don't realize what a gift they are until you lose them. Prosperity begets friends, but adversity proves them. That's a little bit like 2,000 years ago, Lucian, a second century Greek writer, this is what he said about a friend. Just as in calm weather, a man cannot tell whether his sailing master is good, he will need a storm to determine it. Lucian said the same is true for friendship. It's not in good times that we find out our friends who our friends are, but rather in times that are most difficult that friends arise. While we have much to learn about friendship from each other and much to learn about friendship from ancient writers, our hope this morning is to just learn straight from Jesus, okay? So our scripture this morning is John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. Please stand. Please hear and receive God's word. By the way, if you have one of those Bibles that has red letters, this is all red letters. This is Jesus' last time on earth with his friends. And so he's kind of teaching them the things, kind of core values, things that matter most to him. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Lord God, thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, you come and you speak this word directly to the very core of our being. Lord, we don't need to hear from me. We need to hear from you. So speak, Lord. Your children are listening. Lord, we need you to come in this world in which we live. A world that's seemingly so divisive and at odds with each other, against each other. Come and show us what it looks like to be a friend of yours, and also a friend to one another. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Well, this morning, four foundational facts about friendship. That's about as many F's if I can get in there. Four foundational facts about friendship. First, friendship is all about love. The Greek word for friend is philos. In these six verses, there are seven references to love. It's either philos or agape, all right? Verses 12 through 16, agape is used three times. And philos is used three times. And then in verse 17, agape, you know, is used one more time, so agape gets the win. Most of us are familiar, at least kind of familiar, with those two Greek words in classical Greek. Philos is the Greek word for relational love, brotherly love. That's where Philadelphia gets its name. It's the city of brotherly love. That is, unless you're playing the Cowboys in football, I guess. Philos in classical Greek, it's understood as reciprocal love, conditional love. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Agape is the Greek word for unconditional commitment love. Agape, classically understood, is abstract, rational love. But in Christianity, specifically in the Gospel of John, and expressly in the person and the work and the teaching and the words of Jesus himself, philos and agape are often used interchangeably. So in Jesus, agape, this rational, you know, love, becomes personal. In Jesus, this rational, heady kind of love, agape, becomes relational to the core. And philos in Jesus becomes, you know, not just, you know, scratch your back, you scratch mine, I scratch yours, but it becomes unconditional, sacrificial love to the core. At weddings, we say that Jesus showed us that love is relational when he graced a wedding at Cana of Galilee. That Jesus showed us that love is practical when he fed the hungry. That Jesus showed us that love is affectionate when he held the little children in his arms. And that Jesus showed us that love is holistic when he reached down and touched the untouchable leper. And that Jesus showed us that love is sacrificial when he gave his life for us on the cross. So at a wedding, right, I look at the groom and I say, you know, this is how you're supposed to love your wife. And I look at the bride and I say, this is how you're supposed to love your husband. Well, here in John 15, Jesus is saying to us, this is how we are called to love each other. This is how a friend is called to love a friend. Second foundational fact of friendship is that real friendship leads to real sacrifice. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Real friendship requires real sacrifice. Most contemporary language about friendship really doesn't speak about friendship in life and death terms, you know. It usually, we talk about friends, we're talking about, you know, I'm going to go hang out with my friends, you know. Or we're going to go to the movies, you know, together. We're going to eat out with our friends. We're going to go on vacation with our friends. We're going to go to ball games with our friends. But here with Jesus, he clearly talks about sacrifice. He clearly talks about life and death issues. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. What does it really mean to die for someone? I mean, it seems, you know, that we, it's when we stop breathing for them, but it's more, much more. To die for someone means to put their needs before your needs. To be willing to put their protection, their well-being before your own. Being a real friend means to hurt, to sacrifice, and to give for the sake of another, whether you get anything in return or not. John Maxwell tells the story of two friends named Jim and Philip. Jim was just a little older than Philip, but they did everything together. They went to high school together. They went to college together. After college, they decided to join the Marines together. And by a unique series of circumstances, they were sent to Germany together, where they fought side by side in World War II together. One sweltering day during a fierce battle and heavy gunfire and bombing and close quarter combat, these men were given the command to retreat. And as the men were running back, Jim noticed that Philip had not returned with the others, and panic gripped his heart. And Jim knew that if Philip was not back in another minute or two, that he wouldn't make it. Jim begged his commanding officer to let him go to his friend, but the officer denied his request, saying that it would be suicide. Risking his own life, Jim disobeyed the order, and he went after Philip. His heart pounding, he ran into the gunfire, calling out for Philip. Philip, Philip, where are you? And a short time later, his platoon saw him wounded and hobbling across the field, carrying a limp body over his shoulders. Jim's commanding officer chastised him, berated him, telling him, it was a foolish waste of time, an outrageous risk. Your friend is dead. You couldn't have done anything anyway. No, sir, you're wrong, Jim said. I got there just in time. I got there just in time before he died. Philip's last words were, "I knew you would come, friend. I knew you would come." Our challenge, of course, as a real friend, a true friend of Jesus and of one another, is not just to be willing to die for each other, but are we willing to live for them? Are we willing to put their needs before our needs? Are we willing to sacrifice and give and serve? I wonder this morning, who is God calling you, not to die for, but to live for? This morning, who is God calling you to sacrifice for? Third foundational fact of friendship is that friendship results in obedience. John 15:14, Jesus says, "For you are my friends if you do what I command." A missionary translator was trying to figure out a word to translate for obedience in the native language of those that he was serving. He's translating, you know, the New Testament from English into that unknown language. And seemingly, this was a virtue that was seldom practiced among the people into the language that he was trying to translate. So as he returned home from the village one day, he whistled for his dog. And his dog came running, sprinting full speed to his master. An old native, seeing this, he said admiringly in the native tongue, he said, "Your dog is all ear." Immediately, the missionary knew he had his word for obedience. To be a friend of Jesus is to be all ear. We don't just say we believe in him, we actually hear him and follow him. We don't just call ourselves by his name, Christian, we actually become like Christ. We don't just show up every now and then to church, we become like Jesus as we do what he wants us to do. This morning, are you all ear? And by the way, when we say all ear, it's like, oh, you can hear, but that's not all ear with that dog. Was he heard it and he did it. He heard the whistle and he came. Are you all here? Fourth foundational fact about friendship is that friendship is about intimacy. John 15:15, "I no longer call you servants, slaves, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Just as Jesus spent time with his Father, so his followers and his disciples have now spent time with him. They detached themselves from, you know, their homes that they lived in, the cities that they were from, the boats, the careers that they had. They detached themselves from all this stuff of the world so they could attach themselves to Jesus. You see, being present, spending time, being connected, being involved in each other's lives, that's what leads to intimacy. And intimacy allows for knowledge and truth to be shared with one another. Foundational principle, truth is best communicated across the bridge of interpersonal, intimate relationships. Disciples aren't made at a distance. Friends don't come with the click of the button on Facebook, but rather friends are found through investment and involvement and partnership in each other's lives. I don't know if you remember the TV series The West Wing, but in one episode, White House Chief of Staff Leo McGarry reaches out to his deputy Josh Lyman, who is struggling with PTSD. And Leo tells him a parable about friendship. He said, one day this guy's walking down the street when he falls down in a hole. The walls are so steep that he can't get out, and a doctor passes by. And the guy shouts out, "Hey, you! Hey, man, can you help me down here?" And the doctor writes a prescription, he throws it down in the hole, and he moves on. And then the preacher comes, a priest. He comes along, and the guy shouts, "Hey, Father, I'm down in this hole, can you help me out?" And the priest writes out a prayer, and he throws it down in the hole, and he moves on. And then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, can you help me out?" And the friend jumps down in the hole so he can literally be with his friend. And our guy says, man, are you crazy? We're both down in here. What are we going to do? And the friend says, yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out. That's what friends do. They do whatever it takes to get with us, to be with us, to intentionally pursue us. They do whatever it takes to be with us so that they can show us the way out. Look again at John 15, verse 15. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. A friend is someone who's willing to jump in that pit with us, and also someone who is willing to tell you the truth, even when it hurts, even when it's hard, even especially when we need to hear it the most. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. What's so obvious all morning is that Jesus, you know, he's not just teaching some philosophical or theoretical ideal of friendship. Jesus is fully embodying and fully embracing and fully exampling the power and the reality of friendship. Jesus is fully showing us what it means for him to be our friend, your friend, and my friend. Jesus chose you before the foundation of the world. Jesus chose you. Jesus didn't wait around for us to choose him. Jesus pursued us. Jesus sought us. Jesus initiated relationship with you and me no matter where we were. Remember Luke 15? Just like the shepherd, you know, is going out to find his lost sheep. Just like the woman is turning her house upside down and inside out just to find her lost coin. Just like the loving, never giving up father is running down to Turn Row and throwing his arms around his, you know, pig-stunk, torn and tattered son. Just like that, Jesus is seeking you, pursuing friendship with you. This very moment, right here. You're watching from home, right where you are. He's pursuing you. He's not seeking to be your acquaintance. He's not seeking to just be somewhere on your radar. He's seeking to be your intimate, close, loving, forever friend. Jesus put on human skin as a baby. Jesus put on the cross of our sin and our brokenness as a fully grown man. And Jesus did it all out of obedience to his Father. And Jesus did it all because of his love for his friends. Truth is, Jesus died for us while we were yet anything but his friends. Y'all remember Romans 5:8? God proves his love for us while we were yet sinners. While we were yet going our own way, while we were yet doing our own thing, God proved his love for us. While we were yet sinners, and he died for us. The derogatory phrase that the Pharisees hurled at Jesus again and again and again was, you're a friend of sinners, friend of sinners. And indeed he was. He hung out with sinners. He ate with sinners. He healed sinners. He fed sinners. He set sinners free from their demonic captivity. Jesus died for sinners just like you and me. Jesus befriended sinners just like you and me. And this morning, if we're going to be Jesus' friend, then we too must be willing to be friend of sinners. Not judgers of sinners or condemners of sinners or rejectors of sinners nor finger waggers at sinners, but friends. Friends of sinners. We got to be willing to make our presence and our love a reality in their lives. So I close this morning with a very simple story about the difference between the simple act of friendship, the difference that that can make in someone else's life. In his book, The Enormous Exception, Earl Palmer tells the story of a pre-med undergrad student at University of California at Berkeley. This undergrad student became a Christian after a long journey through doubts and questions and just a struggle to faith, but he got there. You see, there was a bout with flu that he had when he was, for 10 days, when he was a sophomore in college. And during that critical absence in his sickness in his organic chemistry class, he had this friend, a Christian classmate who carefully collected all his missed lectures and assignments. His friend took time from his own studies to help him catch up on class. Years later, this pre-med student, now a doctor, now a committed Christian, he told Earl Palmer, he said, you know, he said, that kind of care doesn't just happen nowadays. And I'm sure I wouldn't have done it, but my friend gave that to me without any, you know, complaint, any fanfare at all. He gave that to me without any expectation of anything in return. I wanted to know what made this friend of mine act the way he did. I wanted to know what made him tick. And so I found myself asking him if I could go to church with him. Palmer said, he said, I think the best tribute I've ever heard concerning a Christian was the tribute spoken by this student. This is what the doctor said about his long ago friend. He said this, I just felt more alive. I just felt more alive when I was around him. I wonder this morning if you are that kind of friend. Are you willing to love others like Jesus has loved you? Are you willing to sacrifice and give of yourself for the sake of others, no matter what the cost to yourself? Are you willing to do whatever it is that Jesus is asking you to do for someone else? Are you willing to be present? Are you willing to be intimately involved and invested in their lives, in the lives of the friends that God has put right in front of you? Maybe they are just acquaintances right now. I don't know. Maybe their enemies are seeming enemies right now. But what are you willing to do? How are you willing to love? Maybe even the bigger question this morning is, are you willing to be a true friend to Jesus? Are you willing to love him like he loves you? Are you willing to lay your life down for him? Are you willing not just to read his word, but to obey his voice? Are you willing to truly take the time to make the time to be with him? Are you hungry for an intimate and close friend, to be an intimate and close friend with the very God of the universe? Man, he's here. When Jesus walked out of that tomb 2,000 years ago, he walked out of that tomb so he could walk into this room this morning. When he poured out his Holy Spirit on all of humanity, that was so that any of us could know him even as Peter and John and Andrew knew him. He's not asking us to come and just show up somewhere. He's asking us to come and be his friend and to let him be our friend. Lord, I pray this morning, I thank you for not just teaching us about friendship, but thank you, Jesus, for truly being our friend. We don't deserve it, but you choose us. Before the foundation of the world, you choose us in this very moment. Thank you, Jesus, for not calling us. We're not calling us to stay where we are in that friendship, but to move, even as you are moving toward us. Thank you for empowering us by your Holy Spirit for us not just to be your friend, but to be a friend to others. A friend to sinners, a friend who can love in such a way to make a difference in their lives for your glory, for them knowing you, Lord. Come, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and friend us. Friend us to yourself this very morning. So I don't know where your friendship is with Jesus on 1 to 10, right? 1 is like, oh, yeah, I heard about him. 3 or 4 is, well, yeah, I kind, you know, yeah, I'm acquainted. 6 or 7 is, it's kind of gotten lukewarm. But 10 is, I'm all into this friendship. And I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm desiring that friend to be all in me. Where are you? Where are you this morning, and where do you want to be in that forever friendship with Jesus? Jesus, we belong to you. You get to say who we are. Nobody else, not this world, not our employees, not our employer,
not our bank accounts. You get to say who we are. And I hear you, Lord. He's saying, you are my friends. Come, Jesus. We give ourselves to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
This morning, God loves you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. He loves you. I want to pray for us as we go, and also want to just pray for the boxes that we brought this morning. And those boxes are going to go to children all around this world. And when they open those boxes, they're going to get just, you know, something very concrete and something very practical, but they're going to get the message that Jesus, that God so loved the world. All right. Lord Jesus, thank you and praise you for every person here. God, I pray that we don't walk out these doors not knowing how much you love us. That we don't walk out these doors not knowing that no matter what we've done, you were there for us. That you have chosen us to be your friends. Lord, I pray for these boxes. They're going to go literally, maybe hopefully, to every continent on this earth. And I just pray that as the children open these boxes, God, their eyes will sparkle and their hearts will warm, but not just two great gifts given from humans to humans, but the greatest gift of all, they will open their heart to you, Jesus, and know that they know that you love them. May we know that, may they know that, by your grace, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you for being our forever friend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.